All right, let's begin. So we've just read 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And who did we read about? What was the name of this person? Let me say it louder, one more time.
Uzziah.
Okay. Now, last week we talked about from worship to service. Everybody say with me, from worship to service. Now, who can still remember the word worship in the Hebrew, if you can still remember that? Shachar, right? And what did it mean? What was the idea behind that word? To bow. Okay, and we talked about how real worship really begins with a bowing of our own will, the bowing of our hearts unto God, correct? So it's a posture. It begins with a posture. Of course, the things that we do also count, but it begins out from a heart that's bowing to God in reverence, in respect, in honor, of love. So we talked about that last week. And so today I want to talk about, what do you think the opposite of worship, or the enemy, I would say, one of the enemies of worship will be the opposite, right? So if one is of bowing and humility, what do you think the other would be? If you've got the answer there on the screen, pride. So the enemy of worship is one of the enemies, I would say. It's not the only enemy, but one of the enemies that we all have to face. And I say this because it doesn't matter what, you know, where we are at in life, who we are, what we have, or what we can do, and all these things, there's an enemy that we all have to take care of, or at least not take care, but take heed of. And that's the enemy that we're talking about, pride. Okay, and I think you saw very clearly as we begin to read 2 Chronicles chapter 26. So today I want to, as we've looked at the word worship again, as we talk about bowing now, we look at Uzziah. Instead of bowing here, we see something different happen in his heart. Okay? So the enemy of worship, pride. Let's quickly summarize. What can we tell about, what can we say about Uzziah? Number one, he became king at 16 years of old. Okay, maybe you can say it when it's the bold part, okay? Number two, he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. Number three, he's in the days of Zechariah. Number four, he prospered, God prospered him. Five, defeated his enemies. Six, he became strong. Seven, he was a great builder. Number eight, number nine, he had a great army. Number 10, the new ways to make, weapons and wars and things like that, right? 11, his fame went far and wide. So when you look at all of these things, would you say that was quite a successful man? I think a lot of achievements, a lot of things achieved, a lot of things accomplished, a lot of everything you can do, everything that most people would look for in life, this man had it all. Yet he was a king. Let's begin. He was a king. And so with all of these things that he had, with everything, he didn't lack everything. Everything he wanted, he could get. Personally, that's what it made me think. But I don't know about you, right? But it kind of makes me think, that's what Australia feels like. You have everything. Right? So, and that's the thing here is, once we become successful, once we have everything, once we lack nothing, what is the danger? What is the danger? So let's look at Uzziah. What's the name Uzziah? What does it actually mean, the name Uzziah? All right. In Hebrew, it is said Uzziah, because Uzi, as you will see in a moment, means my strength. Everybody say my strength. So what does it say? Uzziah simply means the Lord is my strength, or the strength of Yahweh, right? So the strength of Yahweh. My strength, Uzi, my strength is the Lord. So in 2 Chronicles, as we read about this person, we look at the person called Uzziah. Now in 2 Kings chapter 15, it talks about King Uzziah, but his name is actually referred to a different name. And his name is Azariah. So if you're reading 2 Kings chapter 15 and you see King Azariah, it's actually the same person. It's King Uzziah. And Azariah, what does Azariah mean? Okay, it's made up of two words as well, two Hebrew words. It means Yah has helped. Yah meaning God, right? Yahweh, the sacred name of God. So you have two ideas here. Uzziah means the Lord is my strength. And here, Azariah is the Lord is my help. The Lord has helped. So say with me, strength and help. So Uzziah was to be a man whose strength is in God and whose help is the Lord. Can you say amen? Now I'm just gonna quickly read through a number of verses from the Bible, all right? And I'm gonna read from Psalms, I'm gonna read from it a little bit here and there. So just follow on the screen for this time, and it tells us and it shows us so clearly from strict scripture and how the psalmist and how the people would declare that the Lord is their strength. Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. So the Lord is my strength. Psalms 84, verse 5 to 7. Blessed is the man. All right, I want to be a blessed man. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage, and they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. So blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Psalms 28, verse 7 to 8. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. So see the word strength and helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Psalm 61, verse 3. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. You remember that psalm we sing? Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. Okay, so that's the song there, right? Psalms 62, verse 7. God is my Yeshua, salvation, and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. So the rock of my strength. The Lord is the rock of my strength. Psalms 24, verse 8. Just a few more, a couple more, I think. Or just one more. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Okay? We've just gone through a few verses how in Psalms and various other passages, but predominantly we've been reading from Psalms here, but it talks about how the Lord is my help and the Lord is my strength. And that is what Uzziah means. Uzziah means the Lord is my strength. Azariah, the Lord is my help. So what do we hear? What did we read from 2 Chronicles chapter 26? In verse 5, this is what it said. This is Uzziah or Azariah. Uzziah, the Lord is my strength. The Lord has helped. All right. Now in 2 Chronicles, it says this. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. All right. So what was the key here is as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So point number one, I've got 3 points here today. Number one, very straightforward, exactly as what we read. Number one, God prospered Uzziah, also known as Azariah, as long as he sought the Lord. Amen? He sought the Lord. How old was he when he was seeking God? He was 16, as of 16. Can you imagine being king at the age of 16. In fact, we have younger kings, in fact, even if you read the other kings, Josiah. All right? But just imagine being a king at the age of, I think he was 9, I think he was, or I can't remember exactly what age he was, 8, 8, right? And then here you have Uzziah at the age of 16 having to reign, okay, and rule the country at such a young age. But you really have to seek the Lord in that place, I think. He sought the Lord. But I just want to bring an interesting point here. It says, when you read that verse, he said he sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah. Who was Zechariah? He was one of the prophets who could see visions. He was a man of God. As long as Zechariah was alive, he sought the Lord. Did you see that verse? It says, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So I know it doesn't say it like this, but think about it. If he sought the Lord as long as Zechariah lived, so when Zechariah died, what happened? Because it also says he, as long as he sought the Lord prospered him. There's a point in time when he didn't prosper so much. So what does that tell you? That means somehow after Zechariah passed away or whatever happened to him, maybe he didn't seek the Lord as much or the way he used to. Make sense? All right. So I want to encourage all of us here, and sometimes us as Christians and believers, we know how to seek the Lord or say the right thing when certain people are around, right? I say children, but adults are no more or no less different, okay? We know how to behave in front of who. We know how to bring honor to who when we see whoever it is. But the whole thing is this. And I want to read Judges 2 here, 16 to 19. In Judges 16 to 19, the people of God, this was after the days of Joshua, they're going to inherit the promised land, but God raised judges every time they got into trouble. But look at what they did. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them, yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. Remember the word bow down. Bow down to Shechah. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of the enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to the pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead. Now, this is the part I want you to pay attention. When the judge was dead, that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn ways. All right, what does Philippians 2 say? Says to us, 12. We've read this many, many times before. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. I want to encourage all of us here this morning, not just when certain people are around, but let's have a heart to say, I will seek the Lord or do the right thing. That means, in essence, having the fear of the Lord. Amen? Amen? I mean, I'm happy. I'm glad that there are people like Zechariah, all right, in our midst, people who are helping us to grow in the Lord. That's very good. Okay? But what happens when they're not around? What happens when they are still around but they're not watching? Right? When should we seek the Lord? All right? Now, let me ask a question really quickly here. By whose strength? Now, we see how God prospered Uzziah. Did God prosper Uzziah? Yeah, as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. By whose strength? Let me ask a question. By whose strength did Uzziah accomplish these many things? God? Yeah. Are we confident about this? Can I hear it a little bit more confidently? So by whose strength? Let me ask the question again. By whose strength did Uzziah did all of these accomplishments? By God's help. Whose strength? The Lord, the strength of God. So we can say, we're talking about the strength of God. It was God's strength that prospered him as long as he sought the Lord. Say amen. So what are we called to do? We're called to seek the Lord. So remember point number one. God prospered Uzziah as long as he sought the Lord. And we're talking about here, number one, the strength of God. And that's living up to his name, doesn't it? Isn't he? Uzziah, my strength of God. And here he's seeking the Lord and depending on the Lord's strength, and the Lord prospered him. So just here, sidetrack here, okay? What is your name? You should know what your name is, okay? All right, and you know your name has a meaning. Many of us have biblical names and things like that, or at least have very significant meanings. Maybe we should seek to pray to God that let's live up to our name. And I think Uzziah here, the Lord is my strength. He was living up to his name. But as long as he sought the Lord prospered him. And now let's look at what happened. Point number two. Are you ready? Yes. What does it tell us in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 15 to 16? So his fame spread far and wide. He was marvelously helped. Now look at this. He was marvelously helped till he became strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord, his God, by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Okay. Right. Look at this carefully. I'm going to read that verse and hopefully you see it with me. His fame went everywhere, far and wide. He was being helped. Was he being helped? Yeah. In what ways? I'm sure God helped him. Amen. I'm sure people put good people around him to help him. Even as he invented things, it says that they invented it by his people. There were men who invented, skillful men invented these things for battle. So God blessed him with people around him. God helped him through people. God helped him himself. God prospered him. But he was helped until something happened. So something shifted here. Can you see the shift? So what happened? Everybody say with me, he became strong. So in the first point, who was strong? Whose strength were we talking about? The strength of the Lord. Now in this point here, whose strength are we talking about here? The strength of Uzziah. So first, the strength of the Lord. Now we've shifted from the strength of the Lord to the strength of Uzziah. So what happened to Uzziah? I mean, we can wonder. There are things that are said in the scriptures, what happened to him. Maybe his accomplishments got a little bit into his head. I don't know. Doesn't quite say that, but one can imagine when you start to prosper. Remember how the Lord always reminds us in scriptures to say, when you prosper, when you go into the promised land and you have all these good things, remember the Lord your God. Lest you turn to some idols and do all kinds of things. So we have a lot of good things that he accomplished, right? He had a great ministry as a king. He had great accomplishments. He built towers in Jerusalem. He built towers in the desert. He had wells and he had livestock and he had plantation. He had all this kind of farming or whatever. He had great achievements. He invented things. He had great results. He won war. He had great reach. His fame went wide and everywhere. He was rich. He had wealth. So let's translate it to our life. Okay? You always say, well, I'm not a king and I don't do amazing, great things. Well, let's look at our life. Okay, what could it look like for us? I have a great ministry, so I'm reaching out to people. Great. I have great accomplishments in the ministry that God has blessed me with. Now, there's nothing wrong with this because God said he would prosper us as long as we seek him. So there's nothing wrong with that. So accomplishment, there's achievements we have played. Okay, I'm serving the Lord and I'm seeing results. I'm seeing results. That's good. I'm seeing achievements. Things are happening. My reach, the spread of what I'm doing is impacting people and countries and nations. Reach. Maybe you posted something online and so many people are starting to watch. You say, whoa, I'm reaching a lot of people. Wonderful. Maybe people are commenting on our social media saying, wonderful, great work. Maybe, and most of us can say, we're doing very well. We live in a very good country. I don't think many people here can't say that they lack as far as wealth and riches is concerned. So we're very well to do. So while all of these things might be good in some ways, while we are, and as I get towards the end of this second point, I want you to think something seriously here, because what did Uzziah do, right? Well, we're told that he, number two, so Uzziah became strong and he became proud. How does it say that in Scripture? His heart was lifted up. Now, could it be that when God starts to use us in some good ways, that we start to get a little bit lifted up? And I know that most people here would agree with me that we desire to be humble and we never seek to take God's place. I don't think anyone here can sincerely look me in the face and say, I want to take God's place. I want people to see me. I don't believe anyone of you here. Sincerely, I don't believe anyone would have this thought in their mind. But oftentimes, pride is the thing that we all have to watch for, regardless of who we are. And it doesn't matter how much we do or how little we do, but pride is the thing that always brings us down. How do we bring that? How does it come out? Okay? Angry, anger, many things. All right? Maybe we always think that our ways is always right. Right? Maybe we always know, we think we know what's always best. You know, and sometimes God will send people to challenge what we think, what we understand, even the revelations of Scriptures that we have, and to be able to receive from someone else, oh, hang on, that's a little bit different. What about, you know, I think for parents, I think that's the challenging thing, right? And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. But I think it should be good. I think it's right if the parents should raise the children. Is that correct? Is that what God ordained? The parents are the authority that God has appointed over children. And I think that sometimes, though, in what is ordained of God, and that's perfectly fine, and that's the way to go. And sometimes parents, or when we look after children, all right, I'm not a parent, but I've looked after children, okay? We can seem to come to a place where we think we know how to best do these things. We always seem to know what's best. We might think our methods are the best methods. That if I would do it, and the thing is this, you look at someone doing certain things and you say, if I was him, I wouldn't do it like this. I would do it this way because it would be better. I don't know if you've ever had any thoughts like this, or I'm the only sinful one here. His heart was lifted up. And what did Uzziah do? Well, he went into the temple as a king. And what did he go to do? He went to burn incense. Now, you've got to understand that in the Old Testament, the priesthood and the office of the king were two separate offices. They were not to be mixed, okay? And so it wasn't right for a king to do the sacrifice of the priest. And Saul sought to do that as well. Remember that, when he brought a sacrifice when he was waiting for Samuel. Samuel said, what are you doing? So you got to understand this clear first, okay? So it was not lawful, it wasn't right for the king to presume that because he's a king and because he had great accomplishments, that he could assume that he could go and burn incense unto God. Now think about this very clearly. If you and I were in Uzziah's shoes, wouldn't you say that, look, I'm a king, God, I've sought the Lord, God has prospered me, I have achievement, I have a long list, I have 2 Chronicles chapter 26 to back me up, that God prospered me, right? And I've got all these things, and my desire is to serve the Lord. I have a desire to serve the Lord and to burn incense. Wouldn't you say that's spiritual? Sounds spiritual. I mean, think about it. I don't know if you see where I'm going with this. in our presumption and say, well, I'm serving the Lord, I'm doing the righteous thing. But sometimes you got to watch. Are we going outside of our boundary or are we within the boundary of where God has placed us? Very important. So don't just say, well, you know, I'm serving God and I'm doing something for the church. Yes, these all things are good and we want people to be engaged. But I think the danger of what I'm saying here is pride lifted up his heart and he just presumed and assumed that he could do these things just because on the basis of, well, I'm doing this for God and I'm serving God. But what was the problem in all of that? The root issue at the end of the day comes down to pride. His heart was lifted up. So because we're serving and because we're doing wonderful things for God, we cannot and we must not use that as a evidence that I'm entitled to certain things because of what I've achieved. Because the moment we come to that place, it is no longer the Uzziah that started well. It becomes the Uzziah which we don't want to become. What happened when he went and did that? What happened? And Auntie Ong said it very, very rightfully here. He became angry. When the priest told him, it is not for you to burn incense, but the priest, 80 priests, stood him. Oh. What if 80 priests or 80 leaders came up to you and says, this is wrong for you to do? Oh. Well, Uzziah got angry. You and I would probably get angry too. I'm serving the Lord. What are you talking about? All right, we'll leave it there. We don't want this place to get too cold. It's already cold as it is in winter. Whew. All right, now that we've got out of the way. Anyway, so let's get back to this. So pride came in. Uzziah became furious, and as he became furious, and as he was angry, leprosy broke out on his forehead. What are the first reaction of pride? It's one of those first things is we react, and we have something to say, and we're angry, and we burst out. So anger, absolutely. So watch out for these manifestations, right? That will really check. Now, if you're, like, let me use one last example here. If you're serving the Lord in your own way, which is great, and you're always within the boundary, and I speak for myself here, right? If you've got your lane and no one else comes in your, no one rubs you off, no one sees what you're doing, and you're just on your lane, there's no one to tell you off. There's no one to tell you, hey, that's not right, adjust this, right? Correct? Is that right? So the chances of you getting, like, oh, what is this on about? It's probably not going to happen because we're just doing things on our own. But suddenly when someone is seeing over, or maybe we're accountable to someone, what happens? They might say certain things. And what do you feel inside? Oh, no. Oh, you ever feel that way? All right? Because we don't always get things right. And you're like, why am I still? But you see, that happens. But then what does that check? It's a reality check into how we respond to when those comments come. Do we get furious? Do we get angry? Do we say, well, I know better? Well, you know what? That's a real test. Okay, let me talk to your last point here. Point number three. Uzziah became strong, number two, and he was proud. His heart was lifted up. He assumed to even serve the Lord and do great things for God, but it was wrong, period. Pride came in. So number three is this, Uzziah must die. Which Uzziah am I talking about here? I'm not talking about the Uzziah whose strength, or blessed is the man whose strength in the Lord. I'm not talking about this Uzziah should die. I'm talking about the latter Uzziah, the second Uzziah, the version two, all right, where he became proud. Didn't seek the Lord anymore. He sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah, but no longer did he seek the Lord. He became proud. That Uzziah must die. Now, I want to bring you to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. There's a verse that we read Okay, but I'm going to spin a little bit here. In verse 1, it says this. Why don't you read verse 1 together with me? 1, 2, and 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Okay, let's skip to verse 3. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord. Let me bring it to you this way. This is how I saw it when I read it once. In the year that King Uzziah died. Now, think with me for a moment. What did King Uzziah represent in the latter part of his life? From the strength of the Lord to the strength of Uzziah. From God prospering him, from God strengthening him, to Uzziah has now become strong. Is that right? In the year that the man who became strong died, Uzziah saw the Lord. So I want to proclaim this morning that you and I, this today, all right, that God will bring us to a place that the pride of man, the Uzziah who said, who became strong, the strength of man, the arms of flesh will die, and that we will see the Lord. And you say amen? In the year that King Uzziah died, in the year that the strength of man died. I'm not saying that's interpretation here, right? But I'm saying to you, can you see this with me? What Uzziah represented at the latter part of his life, when that died, Isaiah, his cousin, prophet, saw something here. Let me quickly bring you to a few verses in the Bible here. Because we talked about last week, and let me bring it back together here. We're talking about worship. Worship is bowing, an attitude of the heart, a bowing before God. But when my heart is lifted up, that's quite the opposite of worship. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Before we go on, how I want to make it a little bit real of how you might think, well, that's just a message. Well, let me tell you, maybe I'll share you from how I reflect on my own life. Maybe that will bring you a little bit more down to earth, because you think, well, how does that apply to me? Well, Uzziah was prospering as long as he sought God, and that's good. And God will use many of us, and God has used many of you here in many different ways. And praise God for that. But let me tell you, for my life, how many times have I ministered out of presumption? What do I mean by that? Well, a bit of a confession here. All right. So, as you're growing in the Lord and your knowledge increases, you think, okay, well, I'm getting better at this. You know, preaching becomes, let me say this reverently, preaching becomes like, yeah, it's my turn, right? You think, okay, well, I'm just going to go by the Spirit. Okay? All right. But, okay, you know, okay? What about if you're a song leader and you've been playing instrument for a long time and you're very good at, I mean, not say very good, but you're good enough at it, and you've been leading songs over years. So the next time, over time, and you get a little bit busy in life and you have less time, for example, you come to a day, you say, well, you can still say it a lot, depend on you, but what do you think man will rely on? The experience of doing it over and over again. So maybe how many times I stood here and perhaps led just because, well, I know songs, I know music, let's get the party started. All right? So by whose strength then are we operating? All right. Again, sometimes we can hide under the guise of maybe, and I don't dislike this idea of let the Spirit lead. But it can become a something we hide behind, don't we? How about the every mundane things that we do? Do we trust in God in those moments, or do we only seem to seek God when we are in need of something in life, when I'm struggling, or where I'm doing something for the first time? Now, the first time I ever preached, I remember it. It wasn't like a proper full service message. It was on the 25th of December in 2010. No, 2011. 2011. 2011, not 2010. 2011. 25th of December. I remember very clearly, I preached from Isaiah 55. And I remember after worship, I'm sitting and I'm like, Lord, do. And you're thinking, oh, I don't know how to do this. I've never done this. It's my first time. You know, you're so nervous and you're really crying out to God in that moment. But like, again, as you start doing it more often, you see that sort of way that I depended on God to preach my first message doesn't quite balance out with the way I started to seek God in future times. You think, oh, I can do this. You know, I used to think, preaching is not that hard after all. No, you just need to get the Bible and just speak it out from your heart, which is true. But you can get that sense of, see, I'm not so holy, am I? So let's get to the last point here. Let me finish this off. Uzziah must die. Uzziah must die. Now I want to talk to you about one last thing, and stay with me for this last bit here, is the spirit of Antichrist. What does the spirit of Antichrist want to do? All right? What did Satan seek to do to Adam and Eve? And this is the reason why I'm saying to you, you've heard many messages about pride in the past. There are videos even on our YouTube channel about King Nebuchadnezzar and all these things about pride and all these things. So it's like, why always talk about pride? Well, I think the importance of what I want to strike to you is because that's how the enemy wants to get us. You want to see it? Let's see it really quickly. Genesis chapter 3, verse 45. I'm going to read a few verses here. See it for yourself, all right? I don't have to say too much here, but read it and hopefully you capture this. What is the enemy trying to do? Genesis chapter 3, verse 45. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." See, in Uzziah 6, the pride of man died, and Uzziah saw the Lord. Here, the pride of man came out. They didn't see God anymore. What did they see? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. So sight was shifted. They couldn't see pride. So think about it. When we are proud, you can't see very clearly. And that's why we make wrong decisions, when we act out of anger and out of pride. But here, see this with me, all right? Satan was trying to tempt man to be like God, to take the place of God. Man is made in the image of and likeness of God, but we are not the one and true living God. Amen? We got to stick to that fact. We are made in the image of God, but we are not God himself. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, for you weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart." Where? In your heart. "I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High." I will be like the Most High. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1 to 5. "The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a God. I sit in the seats of gods in the midst of the seas, yet you're a man and not a God. Though you set your heart as the heart of a God, behold, you're wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that cannot be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself. and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. That's the trademark of the enemy, pride. I've accomplished this. I'm a self-made man. I have great riches. The Lord is blessing me. The Lord must be pleased. Look at what have I acquired. Look at the lives that I'm touching. Look at the people I'm leading to the Lord. Look at my impact. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. Again, I don't believe anyone would ever say here in this place, I want to be like God. But sometimes the way we live, we are our own God. Why? Because we're supposed to trust in God, but when we trust in ourselves, we become God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 to 4. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come. What day? The second coming of Jesus. The second coming of Jesus will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, even who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is. Now, I hope that what I've shown you today is to tries to show you that the Antichrist or the Antichrist seeks to sit as God in the temple. Which temple? This temple. This temple. His church. So if that's what the enemy is looking for, it means that that's the enemy we're facing. So you can't say, well, I don't need to watch out for pride because I've got the life of Jesus. Well, there's an enemy who's out there seeking whom he may devour. The spirit of the Antichrist will deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he has come into the flesh. Is that right? 1 John chapter 4. He will deny that Jesus has come into the flesh. You see, in our lives, you as a body, we have accepted Jesus. Jesus is to be what? King. He is to reign as God. But the Antichrist, not only will he verbally deny Jesus, but he wants to deny the body of Christ from having Christ manifested, seated as king in our lives, so that something else will sit as king. Whatever that thing may be. You know what that thing might be. What are we drawn by? That thing. Ministry can become an idol. All right? Family can become an idol. Riches, entertainment, good things can become an idol. So what is that place that wants to sit itself as God here? That's what I'm talking about. So let me conclude with this. I hope you got something out of this today. And to see that pride is not something that, you know, or I've heard that message again. Pride is something that the enemy is going to, one of the ways the enemy wants to get us. Shall we rise to our feet as we conclude this? What's a practical way? Right? What are some practical things? As you stand up, what can we practically put in place in our lives as we talk about pride and as we talk about these issues of life and all these problems that we can face? Okay? Number one. Okay? Learn to recognize when people put people around us. That's very important. I always say this. But if we can't be accountable first to God, but if we can't be accountable to people, and when God uses people, that's going to become a problem, pride. So realize and recognize that God uses people around us, and leaders over our lives, to speak things that we can't see. Another practical thing is, I guess, it would be humility, right? And we're taught to learn to deflect praise, don't we? Correct? You say, oh, wow, you're, I don't know. You're such an eloquent speaker. So, Chiong, you're such an eloquent speaker. It's, oh, not me, Jesus, right? So, we learn to do that kind of thing, right? So, praise the Lord. Or we say, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, correct? Isn't that what we learn to do? I guess it's become a culture even. But let me challenge that thought is, do we only praise the Lord and hallelujah for what you've given me only in the moment when someone praised us and you say, oh, praise the Lord for you. No, so he is the one who has given me that ability. Now, we've rightly said it in this moment in time, but is that, I don't know, I'm just asking the question here. I'm not accusing you. I'm asking the question, is that the only moment in time when we do that? What about other times of our life? Did we say, Lord, thank you for giving me this or empowering me to do whatever? All right? So, a practical thing. Humility is to constantly stay in a place of praise and thanksgiving because knowing that all things come from God. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy that says, do not say to yourself that your hands have acquired you this wealth, the might of your hand. But it's God who gives us all things. Psalms 121. Why don't you read this with me and we'll make that a prayer, okay? 1, 2, and 3. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. So, we want to worship God and we want to honor God. And I want to compliment the last two messages here. Worship, bowing, proud is lifted up. It's an enemy of worship. Satan is looking for worship. Satan is looking to sit as king. So let me pray this morning. Let's pray this. And why don't you pray in the spirit with me for just a few minutes, okay? Because I think, Uncle Hawk, where are you? This is why I say, remember what happened. We had the wire bag on the chairs here, and as we were doing all the equipment, it just fell on the ground. And I was like, oh yeah. I mean, whatever sound I made, I'm like, oh no, or something like that, and everything fell off the ground. Then I said, Uncle Hawk, remember that phrase. I'm gonna remember that. Well, what did you say? Something fall. You said something fall. I don't know what you said. Anyway, and I said, okay, remember that thought, okay? Because what's gonna happen today is we're going to dethrone every false god and every pride over our life. It's going to fall, all right? Satan, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And I think what we need this morning is God help us to dethrone all these things that we have made, all these things that have been lifted up in our hearts, okay? And we're talking about here, it's not just what we do or say per se. Remember, a few weeks back, and I've said it last week, but I'll say it again. And Pastor Joseph on Mother's Day was talking about honor. And one important point he said is honor is an attitude. Now, you can honor by greeting, giving gifts, and recognizing. And that's great, all right? But more importantly is the attitude behind it. I can give it because it's the right thing to do. Because they are in authority or they are my... And this is good. This is good things to build. But I think the thing that was behind the issue was the attitude. So what we're dealing with here is much more than the external expression. Because sometimes we can have the good external expression but not have the internal. There was a king, and maybe hopefully one another time we'll talk about him. It says there's one of the kings in the scriptures. He says, he served God. He did what was right in the sight of God. But you know what it says? But not with a loyal heart. Is that frightening? We can do the right thing in the sight of God without a loyal heart. Think about that. Is that frightening? Honestly. So don't hide on the fact that you're doing the right thing, if anything is anything today. But let's get right into the depths of the heart.